Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 16, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For February 2nd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Little Less Conversation, Little More Jackson. Courtesy of Kariko Sarah, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, that's right, it's Miles, as in the distance from which I can see through Devin Nunes' bullshit gray. Ooh. Thank you for that fire, aka Moderate Science, or Moderate Science, either one. You call yourself Dave on Twitter, so shout out to you for that, aka.
What up, Dave?
Yeah.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat today by the hilarious Louis Katz.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here, man.
We just found out we're both from the Valley.
Yeah.
Or he went to school in the Valley.
Yes.
But I'm from the Valley, but he's from the other side.
Valley roots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Got 818 going coursing through our veins.
Louis, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
I just found yesterday, and I didn't even realize when I woke up this morning, but I guess around 2 a.m. I was Googling waterproof microphones.
Okay.
I'm considering doing a stand-up show in a pool.
Okay.
and I'm at that point where how much would it cost? You can only get like the headset kind, like I guess if you're going to like train a killer whale or something like that.
Oh, right. Like the SeaWorld mic.
Yeah. And yeah. I was like, how can I get a handheld mic? Like I'm going to do a stand-up show like an idiot in a pool. And no one has that because it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wait, so your idea for this, like you are in the water?
Well, I'm doing a show on February 14th on the roof of the Ace Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they have a little pool there that's right next to it. So right. I'm like, there's this pool right here.
It like a wading pool? Or are you going to have to be treading water the whole time?
It's just
tremendous strength.
It's only comedians who also do water polo can do this show.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's like a shallow pool. It's barely a pool.
Yeah,
right. If you've been to the Ace, it's like they wanted to have a pool, so they have a quote unquote pool.
It's a glorified puddle.
Yeah.
For people to take Instagram photos in.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's just a grammable pool. But it's just right next to the stage.
Well, you know what you should do? Just rock the headset and then just have a prop stick mic so you have the feel of like using the regular mic, but clearly you're getting the amplification through the safer version. I don't know.
I think those headsets look goofy for a stand-up. You know what I mean? It looks like I don't know.
You're doing a TED Talk or
something. Yeah, a TED Talk or like there's some kind of fancy choreography coming. There's nothing. There's no choreography coming.
Right.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that was it. I don't know if I'll buy one, but I'm looking into it.
How much are they?
I found one stick one that was like $1,000. I'm like,
oh,
I guess I'm not going to do a show in a pool.
That's yeah.
what I realized.
It's like, fuck it. I'll just talk real loud.
Yeah.
Louis, what is something you think is underrated?
Soup.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, what is something you think is over? No. Enough said.
Moving on. That's right. You heard that shit.
What's your favorite soup?
Oh, man. There's so many soups.
So many good soups.
I'd have to say lentil is my favorite
wow.
soup. I don't
that
know.
Is
you
a
know
meal.
I can't,
that
I
is
don't
a
know
meal
about
in
that.
A soup.
It's hearty. It's hearty.
Yeah. Lentil. I like ramen. I like chicken. Man, I like so many soups. My girlfriend doesn't like soup, so
wow.
I find that problematic, so I just want to say how good soup is.
What do you think of bisques? Do you need something in your soup, or can you do just like a ground-up sort of...
I'll go bisque.
You'll go bisque?
I'll go gazpacho if I have to.
Right.
Wow. I'm
wow.
crazy.
Gazpacho,
gazpacho is where I draw the line, because I like salsa, but
yeah.
Just eating it with a spoon is...
Out of a bowl? No?
Yeah. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Louis, what is something you think is overrated?
Mardi Gras.
Oh.
It's timely, and I'm just thinking about it. I went the last 2 years...
Wow, no, 2 years. You gave it two
I gave it two
chances.
Years.
This is a well-formed opinion.
I've done things that people really love, and I've also don't. I mean, I went to the World Cup, wasn't into it.
Wait, which World Cup did you go to?
I went to the last one, in Brazil.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
It's just like, I've said, like, this is the most expensive way to find out I definitely don't like soccer. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I
that's
really,
not a good, yeah. If you were on the fence, going to the World Cup will definitely let you know.
Yeah.
What games did you see?
I saw one game I was in Rio, so I saw, I forget the game. I feel like there was French
they weren't even
people
compelling
there,
enough.
Germans there. It was like, it just, here's the thing is that like, you know, the whole thing where there's only like, like one goal or two goals. So you have to watch so intently. And like, at one point I just had to pee. I'm like, I have to pee at this point.
Yeah, right.
And I go to pee, I'm in the stall, and I hear, I'm like,
wow.
I missed the one thing I was here to see. I mean, you know, and it's just, I don't know, I just couldn't get into it.
Man, but those 90 minutes, man, it's tense, baby. Everything matters. That's why I'm a huge football fan, so I love the World Cup.
I just like to, don't you like to look like, not look at the field for half a second? You know
no,
what I mean?
Because the difference is, like, in America, you have to watch so many fucking commercials that I'd rather just do a 90-minute focus fest and just be like, oh, I'm out of here. Good. Boom. Then, like, oh, another TV timeout or commercial.
Oh, man,
break.
But the commercial's the best part of the Super Bowl. Am I right, guys?
Well, that's the
Super
Bowl.
Can't wait for those Super Bowl commercials.
What do you have to win in the Puppy Bowl?
The sloth. Isn't there a sloth this year or some shit?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think, like, because, you know,
the sloth
clearly.
Ball.
Well, no, it's like the Puppy Bowl, and then there's going to be a random fucking sloth, I think, in the background. Because they just need as many force multipliers as possible.
That's got to be against regulations.
Yeah.
Well, and also because Puppy Bowl. NFL football has gotten more and more dangerous the faster and stronger the athletes have gotten. So the safest animal that you could play football with would be a sloth, right? Yeah. There is no
and that's
CTE
science.
Cause. And that's science
but
corner.
Back to, I'm sorry. We got sidetracked because we were talking about soccer. In terms of Mardi Gras, what is it that you think people take or put too much stock in, or what was it to you that you said, you know what, it's fine,
I've been twice. It's like, what? It's crowded. I'm supposed to get – it's like – so the whole thing with like women showing the breasts and getting beads, like that doesn't really happen that much. There's like one part of the street where that happens.
Right.
Instead, everyone just stands on the street and they have parades go by and I'm supposed to get excited about catching beads. I don't give a shit about beads. I don't need beads.
Right, right.
There's just some guy dressed as this weird clown on a truck, and I'm supposed to be excited that he throws a plastic trinket at me. I thought you said,
I'm just a weird guy dressed as a clown on a truck. I was like, well, there's your problem.
Well, no, that's the other thing. I mean, I wish I could be – if I was on a truck, that would be nice. You know, I'm just standing there.
Yeah.
You want to be the bead thrower, not the bead receiver.
Yeah, I'm wearing a wig. I got makeup on, and someone's throwing beads at me. I'm like, what am I doing here?
And you're drinking out of a hand grenade-shaped cup.
Right. I would say – New Orleans during non-Mardi Gras is
wonderful.
Pretty dope.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I
love
like
New
Hannibal's bit about how you can just get a parade is true. Yeah. You can just rent a parade for a reasonable amount of money and you're just followed around by a parade for the rest of the day.
I mean, just a second line like that, just when you're there on a random day and you see a second line, you just join in.
Like, yeah,
that's great. But this with all the people, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And also like on Mardi Gras day, you're supposed to wake up at like – at 6 and start drinking. Like, why am I waking up early to party? That's the opposite of how you party.
Right.
To me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Party when you want to.
That's right.
It's an Eddie Murphy song, I think, right? No, party all the time.
My girl loves to party all the time.
Party only when it's convenient. all right. We are trying to take a sample of what people are talking and thinking about right now at this very moment. And the way we like to open up is by asking our guest, what is a myth? What is something people believe that you, based on your personal experience, know to not be true?
That Jews control the media.
Okay. And how do you know that not to be true?
My career.
All right.
Go on.
If Jews control the media, I would just go to the meetings and be like, hey, guys, I could use a little more work.
Yeah.
And then
I'm tribe, too. Yeah. I'm trying to get a pilot, so what's
good?
Hook
it up. Like, and I haven't been able to do that. Although once, it's funny, my mom, you know, like, I'm sure it's every kind of family, but it's maybe especially Jewish moms, or all my relatives are like, I have one connection. But at one point, my rabbi writes to my mom and says he could hook me up with Howie Mandel.
Oh, nice.
He's like, I can hook you up with Howie Mandel. Not the comedian, but Will Ferrell's wife's gynecologist. That's
really?
His connection.
No.
And I'm like, I don't think that's going to help me at all.
Wow.
I don't know.
He's also named Howard
there.
Mandel.
Yeah, right. You're like, oh, cool. Yeah. No. Howie Mandel, OBGYN.
Right.
He's connected.
Have him put in a good word. I'm sure that would be seen as totally appropriate by Will Ferrell's way. I have
mid-exam.
You here. All right. Let's get into the events of the day. We will obviously be talking about the memo, but we'll save that for the second sort of longer part. Let's get into Black History Month. It is Black History Month. Happy Black History Month, everyone. What are some Black History Month stories?
God damn. You know, Black History Month is starting off. I mean, look, the shit I'm already reading, for starters, just found out there is like a Facebook group who is trying to tank the Rotten Tomatoes score of the Black Panther movie. There is a group called the event itself is called Give Black Panther a Rotten Audience Score on Rotten Tomatoes. And there's like 3,700 participants.
Wow.
And the event is basically like wanting to get the participants obviously to tank the score, but also like distribute massive spoilers because they have like they hate Marvel fanboys and like they want DC fans to like give their own reviews. So it's like this DC thing against Marvel. But then you get into it. This, I think, blog Inverse, they reportedly spoke to the person who said they are leading the group. And he said that the movement is to protest Disney's supposed efforts to, quote, shove SJW messages down our throats.
SJW being social justice warrior.
Exactly.
Right.
And also adding that minorities should stay that way.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
That's, yeah. That's know your place, minorities.
Yeah, exactly. So that's clearly it's not a DC Marvel thing.
Yeah, not at all.
How do they not know they're the bad guy? Like, or do they, are they just into the fact that they're the bad guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, on one hand, it's scary. And on another hand, like, this is such a step down for racists. Like, we're going to give you bad reviews for your movie. It's like, whatever happened to burning a cross or, you know what I mean? It's
they're not about that life. Yeah. And I guess that's good is that it's, we have diet racism. But still, it persists nonetheless.
Yeah. And I mean, at the same time, it just becomes harder to spot, maybe. Like, it's, like, more insidious. They're, like...
Yeah, right, that this there's more shit like this.
Right. They're just trying to find less visible ways to fuck things up
but
for
look,
the rest of
from
us.
What it looks like, it's not going to do a fucking thing, because what, it already shattered, like, the pre-sale record for a film or something?
Yeah.
Has or anyone, wasn't Marvel films.
Are any actual reviews out? Or, like, has anyone...
No.
Well, there was a premiere Monday... or Tuesday, I felt like on Twitter, everybody was at the Black Panther premiere on Twitter. But it seemed like people really liked it. And like,
Oh, yeah. The people who went to the premiere are glowing about it. They say it's amazing.
It's so hyped. I'm just like, what if it's just not that good? That's what I keep wanting. Besides the thing, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, like, can we wait to see if it's good? It looks cool, but a lot of things look cool. Is
Again,
it a
good
movie?
Like, one of our former guests, Dave Schilling, on Twitter was saying he was there too, and he's like, avoid reviews people give immediately the second they step out of a theater. He's like, and give it a second to really think. Because he said, is it the greatest film ever? No. He's like, is it one of the best Marvel films? Yes.
Right.
And like, that's where it
sits. That's saying a lot to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, just I feel like Wonder Woman also suffered from the same kind of hype where people were very excited to see a female superhero, and I just didn't think it was that good. I just didn't think. I was hoping it would be good, and then it wasn't.
It was long.
It was as good.
Right.
It was long. There was those funky accents in the beginning. Where
so you're a white supremacist.
That,
No.
You're
a
men's rights activist.
Misogynist. Thank you.
Oh, right.
Thank
you. Right.
Men's rights activist. Let's get it straight.
Right.
He didn't like it because he's not trying to see an empowered woman.
Right.
You're doing all that masculine hero shit.
Enough.
That was my favorite thing about Wonder Woman is like it changed the depiction of a female superhero. Like it sort of turned it on its ear because most of the time, like Storm and these other female like superheroes, they're like flying or using telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them was like straight up brute strength. Like let me fucking headbutt this tank, my G. Bow.
Yeah, she was badass. And just an Israeli playing her, it's like, yeah, I am scared of Israeli women in general, and that makes sense to me.
So maybe there are many layers to you kind of being like, I don't know about.
No, I liked it. I just think people get overexcited sometimes. It's okay. Like, is it on the? I just have my favorite superhero movies, and if they're saying it's one of the best Marvel movies, most of my favorite ones are Marvel ones, so hey, it must be pretty good.
But that are you a Marvel or DC person?
A Marvel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. See, and this is now the DC Army RIP are mentions because they're going to but then to go along with that, there was another study that the Southern Poverty Law Center just released that basically indicates that most of our high school students don't know shit about slavery. Which, I mean, is not surprising when you look at sort of just in generally the state of our education system and the sentiment people have in regards to slavery, like John Kelly and many other people. But some of the things like in there, for example, only 8% of high school seniors surveyed could identify slavery as the main cause of the Civil War. Less than 10% of these surveyed high school seniors be like, what was the cause of the Civil War?
That's crazy.
Trump? I don't know.
I mean, I think there was a movement to try and make it about states' rights and also like the money involved. They were like, well, you know, the North was just trying to make it. And, you know, that was almost like a backlash. It was like the hip thing to be like, well, actually, historically, it really wasn't about slavery for like a little while there.
Let's negate the suffering of the slaves.
Right. You know, so I can see that. But it sounds like in this case, people are just like, I don't know, taxes.
Well, the other thing. Around 48% of the students said that tax protests were the cause.
Right. So they just think the Civil War is the American Revolutionary War.
Yeah, or they thought, you know, the Occupy movement, basically. This is a precursor to the Occupy movement.
The Tea Party?
No, but to me, it's like, see between the lines. I kind of like the last line of the Black Panther protests. Like, it's like, okay, well, maybe they're just confused. And then you see, oh, it's a tax protest. So it does seem like right-leaning people have been, like, influencing oh, history
100%.
Books.
You know,
like, as soon as you say that, well, I'm like, oh, well, I know who, where this information is coming from. You know what I mean? It's like kind of clear once you say that. Oh, it's tax protests?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Republican agenda to me.
Well, right. And I think they're saying that another staff from that, only 22% could correctly identify that provisions in the Constitution gave advantages to slaveholders, which is, okay, interesting, but that's a little more nuanced. I'm surprised that 22% knew about that, but only 8% knew that slavery was the cause of the Civil War. And then I guess in the last, when you look at the books themselves, they're saying the textbooks are also a huge problem because when they looked at textbooks providing like comprehensive coverage of slavery, they got like a score of 70% against like the rubric that the SPLC created to rate a book based on like how thoroughly they covered the subject. The average score of the textbooks that were they were looking at in the study was 46%. So you, and they also say like teachers also have a hard time facilitating nuanced conversations about slavery. Like once the books close and you begin discussing that, some teachers are also just sort of not equipped to like navigate that conversation.
Yeah, it's going to get uncomfortable.
Yeah. A lot of textbooks are determined by Texas, actually, because Texas is so big and the way the textbook industry is set up, Texas creates a lot of the textbooks in America.
Right.
And Texas, as of, you know, the past handful of years, has been like violently, violently conservative. And, you know, violently against the teaching of anybody's version of the story that isn't, you know, white European settlers.
Or anything that would make the U.S. look bad in any way.
Right.
We've done no wrongdoing ever in the history of our country.
I mean, the textbooks are one thing, but people have pointed out there's all these other museums. There's no slavery museum, you know, really, or anything about that.
Right.
I mean, I went to one, actually. There's one plantation outside of New Orleans. And I'm only there for Mardi Gras. I also go to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
they have a museum, but it's like they're just getting it started. I mean, compare that to like the Holocaust Museum in D.C.,
right,
which didn't even happen here. You know what I mean? It's like there's
right.
no – there's not these means of teaching it because everyone's awkward
right.
about it. I mean, so we're not teaching adults. We're not teaching anyone properly.
Yeah, I mean, the closest
know?
Thing is in D.C., the African American History Museum, but that is like the hardest thing to get into because everybody wants
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
they cover it in there. But yeah, it's true. I think it sort of underlines the fact that, look, Black History Month is in the shortest month of the year. and it's real early on. I think we can use this time to really like change our discourse around what we understand about Black history, because I think it's right now it's like a sentiment.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about really like kind of looking like, oh, is everyone aware of like the contributions and the trials and tribulations of African Americans in this country?
Mm-hmm.
But hey.
So the Black History Museum in D.C. is like, it's like a hot club. It's hard to get into.
It's very hard to get into. Yeah, like because it's so popular, everyone wants to go.
And
because
it
is a great museum.
It opened like last year, so it's yeah. like people.
Oh, just opened last
yeah.
year. Yeah, we just found out we needed a museum about that last year.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that memo. And we're back. So this fucking memo, you guys, I was getting all sorts of tweets and texts from different people about this memo as it was released while I was driving into work this morning. And my Apple Watch thought that I was working out because of how fast my heart was going, because I was so fucking stressed out by everybody being like, oh, well, see, now this... this shows that the investigation is bullshit.
Wait, those are people texting you that?
Yeah. As I've said, I have conservative friends who, very smart people who, buy into this bullshit somehow.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, do you just pay attention to Fox News? And he was like, no.
Yeah, well, what else is
there? I read the Wall Street Journal, which
okay.
also Rupert Murdoch outlet. So.
Yeah. They used to pretend like they were maybe not totally like on the GOP end of things, but now it's like full scale. Like, okay,
right.
We'll spread the news too.
So got in, read the memo, and now I feel a lot better about it because it's just
it's fucking whack.
It's really nothing. So what it is, I actually like took the time to read all four pages of it. And it's all based on a single FISA application that they said is misleading. So they've cherry picked like one tiny piece of procedure from the entire investigation and focused on that. And I feel like that's the most telling thing, because if anything, this suggests that the entire investigation is like super buttoned up, because obviously Nunez and Trump's team like pored over the entirety of the investigation for things they could use to suggest bias, and like this tiny part is the best they could come up with. And it's not a convincing argument, really, in the least bit.
No. And again, they tried to bring in the Steele dossier again, which is like their favorite rallying cry.
Right. So it starts out saying the Steele dossier, which was being paid for by the Clinton campaign. It was also paid for and, in fact, started. He was hired in the first place to create the dossier by Republicans. So it's a bipartisan effort. But they talk about how Steele was contacting this dude Orr at the FBI, whose wife also worked for the law firm that was compiling the Steele dossier for the DNC. And that, like, admittedly doesn't look great that this FBI agent who was working on this had a wife who was working for the law firm that was, you know, working for the DNC.
But that's just like a connection they're making to try and make a point. That,
right. If that was substantive, then it wouldn't just come into play in the Carter Page FISA, which, like, that's not a substantive part of the investigation. Like, at the very end of the memo, they, like, throw in, and the memo mentions Papadopoulos, and they just, like, try and throw all this Papadopoulos stuff at the wall because they know that that's actually a relevant part.
But the fucking dumb part is that it basically confirms that the investigation started because of Papadopoulos and not the dossier.
Right.
That it betrays itself already in putting that information out.
Right.
So it fucking negates everything after that. This thing is, I don't know, this is why, like, when you came in, I was like, this is, I don't even know it's worth talking about, because all this is the fucking dumbest distraction to begin the sequence of talking points that will lead to the ouster of Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Because nothing in here, like, and I know, like, we can pick apart bit by bit, like, what is wrong and what is factually inaccurate, but, you know, this is, it's, I just, I don't know, it's so massively distracting, and the shit in there is so weak. There's nothing fucking new in here, or if it is, it's just to, like, drum up these, like, old conspiracy theories. Like, when they even say, like, oh, well, you know, Christopher Steele didn't want the president to be elected. Yeah, maybe because he saw a bunch of disturbing shit and felt duty bound to tell the security apparatus in this country that this person poses a fucking threat to your democracy and your national security.
Right.
Yeah. And I was telling Nick, like, that's like someone looking at saying, like, oh, I don't like the Redskins. This, you know, the Redskins is, it's offensive. And they're like, oh, you're saying that because you're a Giants fan. It's like, no, I'm saying that because it's the logo's racist. I think the Redskins name is racist, not because I'm a Giants fan. You're completely missing the point that what is motivating this, like, what my distaste for something could be, or the fact that he is alarmed as an intelligence expert at what he has found.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he was predisposed to be worried about a Trump presidency because he had been investigating him and had found a bunch of disturbing shit. So there's this sort of mad scramble to basically get this out there by the Trump regime and their propaganda wing, Fox News, and make it seem like a bigger deal than it actually is. And I don't know. I guess the question is whether it's going to work, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing. Zeit Gang, when you're out here and you have to talk to fuckheads who are like, well, you know, they were monitoring Carter Page, this is all off the Steele dossier. First of all, you can say that's wrong. Read the dossier. They're saying the investigation started because of George Papadopoulos.
Right.
Then, moving on to Carter Page, this fucking idiot was giving documents to Russian spies in 2013 and was already on the radar of our intelligence community because he was fucking working with Russian spies. Like, they had already got him cooperating with them. So, to act like, they never say that Carter Page was a bad target. That's never in the memo at all. And they don't really also allude to the fact or just acknowledge the fact that clearly if they keep renewing it, that there had to have been evidence that each time they were surveilling him, it was yielding evidence that would justify continuing the surveillance. So I don't know. It's just like
And Carter Page, we should mention, when it came out, like, all this super suspicious behavior, the White House completely disavowed him and was like, oh, yeah, we don't know that guy.
I don't know him.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Those two things don't seem to, like, the fact that they're saying it's completely unfair that they were going after Carter Page and the fact that they were like, we don't know him. Like, those, it's just like somebody's,
like,
lying.
The campaign.
He's just saying whatever in the at that moment is convenient.
It's a bad episode of Cops when the dude is clearly crashed his car drunk and they pull him out and they're like, hey, what happened here? And they're like, oh, no, man. It's like, I think this guy was driving the car. And you're like, motherfucker, you in the driver's seat.
We just saw you. Yeah.
It's the same shit, but playing out at the highest levels of government. So cool. You know, this morning on Fox News, they were acting like, oh, well, looky here. So I guess Steele was against Trump the whole time. So that dossier that says the strippers peed all over the bed is untrue.
Right.
But I've yet to read anything that has completely debunked the Steele dossier. We've only seen things that essentially corroborate.
Yeah, everything's corroborated, the Steele dossier. All this says is that Steele was worried about a Trump presidency after he started investigating him and found out about the P tape and found out like that he was compromised by Putin. So, yeah. And I mean, this seems to be the first step in Trump's attempt to purge the FBI and fire, you know, the FBI, which let's remember, was happy to feed details of the Clinton email investigation. Jesus.
Yeah, to Rudy Giuliani.
The Clinton email investigation. Like, let's keep in mind that's what they were worried about.
And also, that Peter Strzok, who is the FBI agent, who's like, oh, the guy who said secret society in those text messages, he drafted that letter that Comey released in October that I think most people will say helped push the election into Donald Trump's favor.
Right.
So, and they were treating this Peter Strzok guy like a fucking boogeyman the whole time. And then here it comes out, your boy actually helped Trump significantly.
Right.
So where's that now? Like, they're just grasping at straws. It's so apparent that the GOP is just covering for this president's fuckery.
Yeah.
It's just fucking, and it's so transparent. Like, it's just, oh man, it's so disheartening. Like, but at the same time, that's why I'm like, don't even give this shit air because it's bullshit. Let's keep it moving. Let's pass some legislation that'll fucking protect Robert Mueller and do that.
Mm. Right. Yeah, the thing I have heard conservatives say is we need to pass legislation that protects the president from stuff like this. So, yeah, like I don't know. This is just, if anything, evidence. Like, you know, even if you were on the fence of whether the Russia investigation was going to reveal anything, just how completely desperate they seem to dead it is kind of one of the most revealing things
to
me.
It is a total distraction. How about this? Can we all agree on these things? Russia hacked the DNC to influence the election.
Yeah,
can we all agree on that?
Yeah. Both sides agreed on that.
Can we agree that Trump was so excited when he was like, yo, I love WikiLeaks. I would love to have this dirt.
Right.
Right? We can accept that. Can we also agree that the Trump team may have most likely had a meeting with that Russian lawyer about getting those Hillary emails.
Yeah, according to them, they had a meeting with her. It was just about
child adoptions.
Child
adoptions. He says even when he met with Putin, he said, oh, I met with him about child adoptions. Okay, give me a break.
For an innocent person, these would all be things they would want investigated to prove like there's nothing going on here.
Also, we can also accept they were trying to obscure the fact that those meetings happened.
Right.
And then that the FBI they were only looking at Hillary during the campaign. So I'm sorry, that to me is more of a scandal than shit pants Devin Nunes trying to like drum up this. It's just stupid, man. There's nothing substantive in there.
Right.
And now I want to see, that's why they need to have the Democrat memo out to just eviscerate this thing.
Right. So yeah, that's important. People are probably hearing Memogate, the memo has been released, and assuming that this is in some way like a comprehensive thing. So let's just say what the memo is. The memo is one Republican's like cherry-picked account of a very specific like procedural aspect of the case that he thinks was biased. That's all. Like a thing that really has barely any bearing on the investigation. Like Carter Page is not a key part of the investigation at this point that we know of, right?
No.
I
guess this is why it's been taking so long, because they knew they would pick up any kind of thing that they could.
Well, they're
get
being
at,
so
right?
careful. Yeah. Like that's what this points out to me, is that like every fucking thing they're doing is so careful that like this is the best they could come up with. But yeah, Miles, like you said, there is a Democratic version of this that points out all of the ways that this is, you know, that the Republican memo that was just released is misleading. The FBI wants that out there. The FBI said, like, this is wildly reckless to put this out there. The FBI, which is run by people who Trump handpicked. These are Trump appointees, you guys. These are not the Democrats and the FBI are in cahoots. The FBI fucking swung the election to Trump, like Miles said. So,
I mean, I assume the FBI, even besides the fact that they turned the election, that maybe a lot of the agents are right-leaning. So how do they feel, and how are they going to react when he's doing this kind of stuff?
Well, I think they're involved in an investigation that it, I don't know.
I wouldn't say, but I think it's misleading to, I guess, say that all the entire FBI was totally on this Team Trump thing. There were definitely a few agents who in New York were the ones who were putting the pressure, like through like leaking to Rudy Giuliani, mm-hmm. that basically forced Comey's hand to talk about that there was a thing because he didn't want it to get out like that.
Okay.
So there are, I'm sure there are people who were like that, but to say, I guess really the FBI in general is for the most part is not who you want to fuck with as a president because
that's what I'm saying.
They take down all the presidents whenever there's fuckery.
So what are some examples of that?
Oh, no, Nixon. Right. You know, fucking
Kennedy.
No. No, but with Nixon, he actually asked the FBI to shut down the probe, and someone at the FBI flatly said no. Also, if you remember Mark Felt, who was Deep Throat, also FBI assistant director. So, you know, the FBI has receipts. And even like in 2004, George W. Bush, Bush 2, was actually confronted by Bob Mueller himself. Where Mueller was basically saying, like, yo, I'm going to resign if you don't knock off some of this electronic surveillance shit that you're doing after 9/11. And then guess what happened? Bush agreed, and he agreed to put it on more like, you know, make it above board and less, you know, illegal. So clearly the FBI has a relationship with being independent and also stepping in when presidents are going out of line for the well-being of the rest of the country. So, yes, I think the bottom line, though, is that if there is ever a time where Trump needs our top law enforcement apparatus to be functioning in his favor, this is not good for their relationship for him to paint all these guys to be like, oh, they're hacks. Cause I would say most people are probably being professional, actually respect the work that they do at the Bureau.
Trying to be unbiased, actually, neither side.
Right.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the goal here is for him to be able to fire all the leadership and put more leaders in there who are, you know, now like on his side.
Right. And they want to say that it's politicized. I'm sorry. Did you not ask James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, all these people for fucking loyalty oaths?
Yeah.
And you want to say it's political?
I'm saying, and how many people of his own can he put in there? All the people underneath are going to be upset. I mean, like, there's no, you can't just replace everybody.
Well, right. I mean, like, one thing is that, so if he's able to remove Rod Rosenstein, that he'll either try and get someone confirmed, or what he can do is move somebody that has already received Senate confirmation into that position mm-hmm. to do his bidding. And if that's the case, I think they know is like if they fire Bob Mueller, it's going to be a disaster. So what they can do is put someone in that deputy AG position to like massively curtail and hamstring his investigation and like limit the scope of it so it becomes much more difficult for Robert Mueller to put his case together.
Damn.
That's where like all these signs are pointing to. So, right.
And just a thing we keep bringing up, but Trump continues to talk about some attack in the future that we don't know about, but he keeps talking about.
Or a major event.
A major event that will. Okay, what was the thing with the election?
This is maybe a month or two ago in the Washington Post. They were talking about, it was an article about midterms. And it was like a small line. I think clearly many other people picked it up because it was very weird. Talking about how the midterms were not looking good, but he's been saying privately that when 9/11 happened, that helped the Bush White House like tremendously because it just approval ratings skyrocket when there's like a fucking terrorist attack like mm-hmm. that. You know, they said, well, maybe nothing like that will happen, but I know that it helps or whatever. Then earlier this week, he was talking to the press before the State of the Union. He was saying, I would love to be able to bring our country back into a great form of unity. Quote, without a major event where people pull together. That's hard to do, but I would like to do it without that major event because usually that major event is not a good thing.
Mm. So maybe, again, just, you know, be a shame if something were to happen.
Yeah.
Because then everybody would be behind.
So whether that is, I mean, if you want to look at all the news coming out of the Pentagon with North Korea, like the fact that the White House keeps telling the Pentagon, give us more options, give us more options. Because clearly the Pentagon is like, okay, here are options. They're like, don't fucking show him anything like with a military strike. Ugh. And now the White House is like, no, we want something. Right. We want military options. I don't know what this is leading to.
Well, just keep in mind that his boy, Putin, came to power through a false flag operation where they bombed a bunch of like apartment buildings and blamed it on Chechens. And it is almost definitely like everybody, like, obviously the press there is not free to print this.
Say that it was the FSB.
Like, when you read up on the details, it's basically their version of the CIA is, like, all over the place in the investigation of the bombings.
Not to mention the head of the FSB, the GRU, and, like, their main spy chief were in D.C. talking to Mike Pompeo, and we didn't know until the Russian media was like, oh, hey, by the way, like, all of our top spy people talked to Mike Pompeo at the CIA about terrorism or whatever. Mm. And then here we are not enforcing the fucking sanctions, which would probably deter Russia from attempting to fuck with the midterms. There's, like, really – like, I don't know. It's just – all this memo shit is just such a distraction from, like, the real – fucking problems, because the more we talk about this memo, the less we have to talk about the fact that he's not enforcing sanctions and that these people have been visiting DC and who knows what's going on with North Korea. It's, you know, it's Friday.
Maybe he just read The Watchmen recently. He's all in right. The ending.
Ozymandias.
Let's hope it's like some kind of weird alien thing and not something where a lot of people die.
Yeah,
like
that is true.
Fake alien thing lands and then we all unify against the aliens. That would be probably the best case scenario.
And I hope when he says, like, we have to, you know, increase our arsenal, he's talking about we have a Dr. Manhattan or something.
Yeah.
To just pull up.
That would be way more entertaining.
It would.
It's scary on so many levels, but basically what he's saying is also that, like, not only is he going to solidify power, but in a way, probably a lot of people are going to have to die in order for him to solidify power, which is disgusting and scary.
And I don't want to be reckless and say that that is what is going to happen, but it's just very unsettling language.
Well, if he's allowed to speculate about it, then I feel like we should be able to speculate about it too.
Right.
Like, if he's allowed to be like, it'd be a shame if something were to happen type thing.
It'd be a shame if someone 9/11'd you.
Right.
Like, what?
Then I feel like we should be able to point out because that that's fucking crazy.
If it's something with North Korea, here in California, we are the closest. You know, I mean, maybe Alaska, technically.
Well, no, but people from inside North Korea have said that, you know, the very first target that Kim Jong-un would attack is Los Angeles and Hollywood.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in like an old pop culture. Yeah.
I thought his dad loved the movies.
They do, but well, like that's why.
Fuck you, Dad!
I think it would be like a way of feeling like he destroyed something important.
Yeah. And just Seth Rogen's house, just straight to his house.
Straight
up.
Tactical nuclear strike. But yeah, and not to mention, what would happen in the region in general? What happens to Seoul just across the border there? What happens to Japan? They're putting people at risk, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
I didn't thought it would be North Korea. I was thinking more of a terrorist thing here and not like some kind of big war thing.
But I mean, who knows? Says a major event, so who knows? The Super Bowl halftime show could be a major event.
Aliens. Puppy Bowl. Sloth takes the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. That's a major event. It brings the country together. All of his approval ratings go up, and we're out of this.
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So the Super Bowl is this weekend, which means it's the Friday of Super Bowl week, and ESPN has reached new levels of desperation when it comes to generating stories about the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. This happens every year. We actually, one of the first like hit viral things we did on Cracked was create a fake ESPN that was just like all the Super Bowl stories that like they were trying to generate. Right now, though, the front page of ESPN, the second story is, who will prevail in Super Bowl 52? Maybe the team that sleeps on it. Studies show that even a small increase in REM sleep can boost performance. So that's where they're at right now is like, yeah, they're just because they have to. They're covering this one game like for they have to write, you know, 1,000 stories about this one game. And
well, I think time I saw like on their Twitter, it's like 23 facts you didn't know about the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that it's OK. Cool. Thanks.
Sweet.
I mean, I would have loved that when I was still reading like Sports Illustrated for Kids in 1993.
I think the Eagles are going to win. That's my.
Oh, just going right into that, huh?
Yeah. They feel like a team of destiny. It feels like they've been underrated, underestimated every step of the way. I'm an ashamed Patriots fan, but I think the Eagles are definitely going to win. It's like they've been underdogs for the past three rounds. I think it's definitely the same thing is happening every time. People are like, yeah, but not this time. The Eagles suck. The Nick Foles won't do it again. And they keep surprising people. I think it'll keep happening.
When you say you're an ashamed Patriots fan, what does that mean?
I've been a Patriots fan since before Tom Brady was their quarterback, and, you know, I'm still a Patriots fan. Do I love the fact that he had a MAGA hat in his locker? Yes, I do. No, I, you know, he's...
Or is this because Patriots fan gets such hate, and you're like, but I was down with it before it got like this.
I think the cheating stuff is overblown. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm just ashamed of, you know, they're kind of assholes.
Oh yeah, put his
wait,
music on.
I'm a reverse conspiracy theorist on that.
He's being honest. He's being honest.
Yeah, and I just get that it's fucking annoying to have a team that is there every year.
Yeah,
but.
Louis, you got a pick?
I don't like any form of football. American, right. International, oh, nothing.
Football or football?
Yeah, football, either kind of foot. Foot or foot. My pick is that I will be drunk on a couch somewhere on Sunday.
Yes.
And I will participate in that way, but I don't have a pick.
Yeah, okay. What about food? Let's talk food. What do you like to eat on the Super Bowl?
Oh, man, whatever anyone's serving up. I'll tell you this, and this isn't my favorite thing. This is going to sound like some LA bullshit, but someone brought these like vegetarian buffalo wings, which I didn't think would be good, like cauliflower buffalo wings.
Oh yeah, from Veggie Grill.
Yeah,
these were from some other place, Bulan, this vegetarian Thai place. But man, those are phenomenal.
Yeah,
like I didn't know that could be that good, and now I'm like turned on to like buffalo cauliflower, which sounds like some bullshit, but I'm telling you,
it's good.
Delicious.
No, it
it's
is
really good.
As someone who does not normally eat vegetarian or vegan, really specifically, the first time I had that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
You done it.
Yeah,
cauliflower is like kind of the new hot shit, right? I mean, it's been cool for a while,
you know,
but...
Cruciferous vegetables have had a bad rap for a long time.
Yeah,
you know? I'm just glad they're coming back. For me personally, I'm going with the Eagles because, you know, my man's Chris and his family, they're from Philly. So I don't care about the NFL either, but mm-hmm. I'll use like the one good memory I have of football, which is through my friend Chris Flick. So shout out to you, Chris. I hope the fucking Eagles do it. I also think the accents in Philadelphia are great too.
Yeah. You going to Uncle Iggy's? That's how my cousins talk. My whole family's from Philadelphia. They're gonna fucking
shame on you.
Yeah.
Damn. See, the stakes are high.
Yeah,
you
no,
have familial roots, but
it also really is two places with like horrible accents. You know, I mostly live in New York now, and I feel like the bad reputation that New Yorkers have is actually true about Philly and Boston. Like that's where those people are from. Actually, you know what I mean?
People who are like really mean and
like obnoxious and mean and
trying to
violent.
Fight you.
Yes, that's not in New York. That's in those places. So.
Right?
Yeah, people like to fight in Boston, man.
Yeah, they really do
like
to fight.
Get called, man. I was surprised. Like, whoa, okay, just for walking on the street.
Or just the way they talk out there. It sounds like someone's about to fight, even when they're not. Like, what the fuck are they fucking? And it's like, is this about to go down? It's like, no, they're just going to get some food.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, it's,
they're,
can't
they're
tell.
Ordering
yeah.
at a drive-through.
Yeah.
Do you have any predictions of anything you think might happen in the game, Jack? Look into your crystal ball. Anything. It doesn't even have to be sports related. Will there be a blackout? Will there be something controversial? What
yeah,
do you feel
I think there will be
hearts?
A blackout for sure. I don't know. It's really cold up there in Minnesota right now. Up there in Minnesota. I think the stands will be almost all Eagles fans. It'll be almost like a home game for the Eagles because Patriots fans are like, we're over it. We've seen like six Super Bowls.
We've been everywhere
and
already.
Fucking,
yeah.
You saw what Philadelphia looked like the night after the Eagles made it. So it's going to be like a home game for them. And I think it'll be closer than their game with the Vikings, but I think it'll be.
I'm just going to pray that Janet Jackson comes out. And she pulls out Justin Timberlake's dick. I just feel like that's what has to happen. That's how the
Still
universe is going to write itself.
Yeah.
Even, you know, even with all this memo gate shit, we might just be, who knows, we could be vaporized in a nuclear blast by North Korea. But if I can see Janet Jackson get up there and pull Justin Timberlake's dick out and bring balance to the force,
right.
That could be the great event.
I think that's too far. I think you got to go one nut, right or left.
Right.
I think dick is too
less
far.
Just left. Okay. I'll accept that too. I'll accept that.
All right. We got to get to Bloid Watch before
Bloid Watch. The
episode is over. What's going on in the world of tabloids? Just to remind people, we talk about tabloids because millions upon millions of people pass those every day because humans still have eyes and they still need to buy milk. The information on the cover of tabloids are still being dumped into millions and millions of brains every day. So, Miles, what is happening
All
in
right,
the world
so, like,
of tabloids?
What are the good ones? On the cover of Star, Tom escapes Scientology for Surrey. What pushed him over the edge? Inside the magazine, though, when they try and allude to the fact that he's leaving Scientology, he didn't go to the opening of a center.
Right.
So they're like, oh. But then in the same article, they also say he might be being groomed to replace, like, David Miscavige to be the head of the church. So,
so he's either leaving the church or about to become the pope of the church.
So cool.
So we've got some good inside information on that one.
This one, Matt's Revenge, got Matt Lauer on In Touch. He knows all their dirty secrets inside his explosive $12 million tell-all. Love children, nude selfies, anchory bombshell, quote, everyone was sleeping with each other. You go inside and they're saying, like, he might write a book because he thinks it'll help him, you know, pull him out of, like, if he's going down, then I'm taking the whole motherfucker with me kind of attitude.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think so.
What does someone that rich care? It's like, just live in your mansion and be.
Right. You're making $23 million a fucking year.
Yeah.
And you're going to do it for 12? Come on, man. That's Hoda money. All right. Next, in the National Enquirer, my husband murdered JonBenet.
Oh, see? Solved.
Why are we talking about the memo, Jack? Fucking, my husband murdered. That's for this 85-year-old's dying confession, exclusive interview. When you go in there, so they're saying the creep lived in the neighbor's basement and he had a shrine to the beauty queen. And it all hangs on the fact that the man, he smiled when I asked if he did it. Blat out. Boom. Case closed.
But this was somebody who lived in the neighbor's basement?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't even read that far until I saw that it was all hanging on the fact that he smiled when she asked if he did it.
Right. So, they put a dude's picture on the fucking cover, too. Like, granted, he's dead, but that's still, like, could you fucking imagine?
Having that on your
face. Right.
They're like, yo, that's my fucking uncle, man.
Right.
What the fuck are you doing? Kill JonBenet Ramsey?
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to JonBenet.
Now, this one's big. This is wild.
This
is hot shit.
Woo! I mean, I don't know why are we talking about the memo when the queen survives assassin's bullet, arrested after firing kill shot as she left a limo. Okay, first of all, you go in the thing. Apparently, she was in New Zealand, and this guy tried to take a shot at her, but they're saying the media didn't cover it and say there wasn't an attempt, and then the guy mysteriously died in jail. Like, it's full of so much weird,
so
speculative, unconfirmed shit, and they're like... You know, many Islamic terror groups have put a fucking target on the family, so watch out for the wedding. It's going to be crazy. Mm. But I don't know. Again, so...
You'd think that'd be in the news.
Yeah.
Hell no.
The real news. Sorry. Well, no offense to the...
if you look right above, JFK buried next to Nazi. So America's hidden shame.
Right.
So fuck what Joe Kennedy said at the response, because his fucking great uncle was buried next to a Nazi. And then that's about it. Oh, also Natalie Wood, case solved.
Oh,
finally.
Because I was reading, I had some things bookmarked about that, but the case has been solved. Cool.
It's been solved because she cheated with Chris Walken and Robert Wagner flew into a jealous rage.
Oh.
So case closed.
Well, that is what people think happened. But that's a thing that I feel like the media has just in the back of their file of like stories that can always come up.
Yeah.
Because like if there's no snowstorm coming or something, they're just like, oh, Robert Wagner has been a person of mystery like for 10 years. And they'll just mention it again every fucking time. Or they'll ask the lead investigator. They ask the lead investigator, is he a suspect? And he said, no, I'd say he's a person of interest. So it's just like, yo, that is nothing. That tells us nothing.
Wow.
And it is not the investigator coming out and saying that, like, motivated by him having some new information. It is the media asking him and him saying, I'd temper that.
Hey, you got to try, though. You got to swing for the fences.
Right. Louis, it's been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, do all that good stuff?
I'm on all the internet things, and if you just search my name, you'll find me, LOUISKATZ. You can see me on the new season of This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central. I'm telling a story. My episode comes out February 9th, check that out. It's just me and Kevin Smith on that one, I think. And check out my album online, my first album, If These Balls Could Talk.
Yeah, we were just listening to that yesterday.
Yeah, and I'll have a new one coming out soon, so keep your eyes out for that.
Awesome. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. So stop hitting me with these AKAs with that G-R-E-Y shit.
The people will be able to hear it in your voice.
G-R-E-Y.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is just search The Daily Zeitgeist on Facebook. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnote.
We link off to the sources that we used for this episode and all the stories we talked about. And that's going to do it for today. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
I just need, you know, we need to calm our vibes a little bit. We just need to, you know, the collective world needs to smoke a wild L in the bathtub. Just relax, okay? And this is a song I want to play from the internet, produced by Kate Trinata, who's an OG producer. The song's called Girl. It's off their last album. It's, you know, Ego Death. It's a great vibe. It's a
from
great vibe.
The Internet being the name of the band.
The Internet, with Sid as the front person, sister of Taco from Odd Future. Anyway, but yes, this is Girl from the Internet, produced by Kajanata. Get into it.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week on Monday with Season 17. So talk to you guys then. Bye.
Falling for